I've not always been faithful, but He's always been faithful. I sure am thankful for that. Amen. Makes me want to be more faithful to Him. And the great love wherewith He loved us. My, we're going to praise Him forever, and we still won't praise Him too much. Amen. Mark chapter 2 in your Bibles this morning. Mark chapter 2. And appreciate the ministry here. Appreciate the years of influence and investment that you've made in this area through the ministry of the church here and also through the ministry of the radio program and radio station. And it has been, every time I get back in this area, I'm finding 89.9 and listening in, hearing some of these preachers. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, you know, being in this area and I'd hear these preachers preaching. And I turn it on today and, I mean, they're still at it. Amen. And thank God for that. And keep it up. Just keep putting the Word of God out there. There's nothing more powerful than the gospel. And we believe in the power of the gospel. And we're not ashamed of it. Amen. And so thank you for just being faithful to that. And again, thanks for having us in today on short notice. We appreciate that. Mark chapter 2, if you found your place, we invite you to stand as we read the text here. We'll read the first 12 verses of the chapter. And this passage has been on my heart the last couple of days. And I pray it would be a help to us this morning. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. I'll read aloud. You follow along in your King James Bible. Scripture says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." I want to preach this morning on Jesus in the house. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, God, for your grace upon us, your love, your mercy, your tenderness toward us. Thank you for forgiveness, full and free, through the precious blood of Jesus that he shed for us. On our account, Lord, we are unworthy sinners. There's nothing we could do to earn your salvation or earn your forgiveness, but God, you commended your love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, we praise you for that. We thank you for that. Lord, maybe there's someone here today who has never trusted Christ as Savior. Maybe they've been in church, but they're not in Christ. Lord, I pray you'd speak to their hearts, draw them by your Spirit. I pray they'd trust Christ today, be born again, be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray I believe there's many needs in this building. Whether it's need of salvation or need of some spiritual help today, God, you alone know all the needs of every heart. God, we pray that through the preaching of your word, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that every need of every heart will be met today. God, we know that you have that kind of power. Help us, Lord, to yield ourselves to your work today. And God, we want your presence. We want the fullness of your presence in this place, in our lives day to day. And God, we pray that we would experience that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I love this story. It's a well-known story. It's one that we've heard probably many, many times. But though it's well-known and though it's well-traveled, I think we also need to remember that this is a real, true story. This really took place. There was this man, and the Bible actually, I was noticing just this morning, as I was looking over this passage again, nowhere does it call him a man. He was male for sure, but it was probably a young man. Jesus addressed him as son, and which is often a reference to a young man in the Bible. And so here's this young man, by all appearances. He has a great need in his life, and no doubt he's looked for help elsewhere, but he finally finds it in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ. And I love this story. I love all that is connected to this story. I've heard many messages on the four that bore him to the Lord and their faith and God rewarding their faith. And I remember a message many years ago I heard called, "Do Your Part. Hold up your corner." Amen? And there's great truth to be seen here with that as well. But I want to focus in this morning on this man, on this young man, and on this opportunity that he had because Jesus was in the house. And as we look through this passage, there's three things I want to look at this morning. Mainly, I want to look at, first of all, the opportunities that were here. I want to look at the opposition and the obstacles that were in the way. I want to look at the objectives that we find here, why Jesus did what he did and why he did it the way he did it. He always has a reason why he does what he does and when he does it. Amen. And so I want to look at all these. But as we look at this passage, we'll move through these verses here this morning. The Bible says, "And again, he entered into Capernaum." And I'm thinking about chapter 1. We read a lot in chapter 1 about the work that Christ did in Capernaum. He had healed many. They had brought many to him. And he had healed all that were brought to him. He healed, we read in chapter 1. And yet there were still some that still had needs. Here this young man, he missed his first opportunity to be healed and cleansed. But aren't you thankful for the agains in your life and the agains in Scripture? I'm so thankful that Jesus passed by his way again. You know, I think I was raised in church. My dad's here. I'm thankful for the godly heritage that I have. And I heard the gospel all of my life. I had no excuse not to be saved much earlier, but I didn't get saved until I was 17 years old. I'm thankful for the agains in my life. When the Holy Spirit of God again dealt with my heart, and I'd be in a place in a church like this, and we'd be in a service, and the Spirit of God would move in that place again, and I knew that Jesus was in the house. Amen. I'm thankful for those opportunities. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I believe that Jesus is in this place, and I believe there's an opportunity again for you to be saved, for you to be cleansed, for you to be forgiven and granted eternal life. Amen. And so I'm thankful for the again. There's an opportunity here in this passage. The Bible says that there were many people there. There's a multitude in that place, and there were so many in that place that there was no room in the house for any more people. There were people on the outside of that house. Everybody was around, all surrounding and revolving around the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's this multitude there, and brother, as I look at the passage, I only see one person getting healed. As far as we know, there was only one person that was helped. You know, I think many times over and over again, there's a multitude of people in a place hearing the word of God. It says when they gathered around, Jesus preached the word unto them. And how many will come into a place like this? They'll hear the word of God preached. They will leave the same way they came. There was help to be had. Jesus was in the house. The word of God was preached. The Spirit of God was there. And they left the same way they came. Well, I don't want that to be me this morning. I already got some help in the Sunday school time. Amen. What a blessing that was. And so you should not leave the same way you come. When Jesus is in the house, business can pick up. Amen? And so there was opportunities here. They've come to Christ because they know He can help them. There's opportunities. And then I'm going to jump down and I want us to see the objectives. And then we're going to go back and spend a little more time looking at the opposition. But in the objectives, you see what the Lord is doing here in verse number 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, and I believe He's speaking of those four that bore this young man and also the young man. Amen. He had to have a degree of faith as well, right? We know the story. He's dependent on these guys to get him safely from the roof to the floor. And so there's faith involved, and all of it's revolved around Christ. And it says, when he saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Notice this man was brought to the Lord, and he was brought to the Lord because of his physical infirmity. Is that right? Yes, sir. That's why they brought him here. As far as we know, this was the primary reason. And yet the Lord Jesus deals with the most pressing need of his life first. He deals with his sins. You know, you can go through this life, you might have the best health that any person's ever had in this world, but guess what? One day you're still going to die. And you're still going to pass over into the next life, and you're either going to heaven to be with the Lord, or you're going to be in hell with the devil and his angels. And so, listen, there's a lot of needs we come across. I think about all what's going on down in North Carolina, and my, the suffering, and the media is not telling you the half of it. What's going on down there? And the loss of life has been catastrophic. Yeah. And you think about all the needs and the food that's needed and housing and clothing and all those things. And all of those things are important. But the greatest need of every individual is spiritual. Yeah. So with all of these things, and thank the Lord, you know, God's used the churches down there primarily to take care of people. And what a blessing, what an opportunity, while they're giving out food and water and clothing and diapers and all these things, they're also giving out Bibles and gospel tracts. They're giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's their greatest need. You might be sitting here this morning and think, well, my greatest need is to have more money in the bank account because it's kind of skinny. Or my greatest need is for better health. Or my greatest need is to have to be in a relationship. Your greatest need is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual need. Even if you're saved, your greatest need is still spiritual. Your walk with Christ, your fellowship with Christ, these things are of far greater importance than anything tangible or physical in this life. And so they bring this man to the Lord, and the objective, and I want you to think about this, this young man, what he was going through, we look at suffering, we look at what's happening down in the Carolinas and Tennessee, and we say, why? That's the first question that comes to mind, because that's natural. Why? 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 This man, this infirmity he had, why did he have this? Well, many times we don't know the answer in particular, but one thing for sure, we know where this infirmity brought this man. It brought him closer to Jesus. It made him aware of his need for the Lord. Now listen, when suffering comes in our lives, that ought to be a wake-up call and an opportunity for us to get closer to the Lord. He's wanting to do something in our lives. And this man, he forgives his sins. Now, really, when you read in this passage, the story could have ended right there. It could have ended right there, and the Lord still would have been good to this young man. Amen? You notice the story continues, verse number 6, but. Oh, always somebody butting in, isn't there? But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Scribes and Pharisees are real good at reasoning. They're not as good at faith. They're reasoning. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? You know what? They had a point. Is that right? You know, I can forgive you for sinning against me, but I can't clear you of that sin. Because all sin ultimately is against God. Is that right? And He's the only one who can clearly forgive you of your sin. And so the statement they're making, they're making a statement with a question, who can forgive sins but God only? It's really bringing them to the point of this whole situation. Jesus is trying to reveal to them who He is. Verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Now right there they should have known, okay, this is somebody different we're dealing with here. Because He's reading not their minds, He's reading their hearts. And He says, then he puts it out there. He said, okay, you don't think I can forgive sins? Well, what do you think is easier? Is it easier, look at verse 9, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? He's given a question. What do you think is easier? Would it be easier for me to say, oh, your sins are forgiven? Or would it be easier for me to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? Now, come on. Anybody can say anything. Right, James 2 tells us that. You say you have faith. But I'm not required to believe it if your works don't back it up. Everybody talks about, especially today, social media. Everybody says everything. You know, well, everybody loves God. Everybody has faith. Everybody has this and everybody has that. He's saying it'd be easy for me to say, oh, your sins are forgiven. But not everybody can raise up a man who is paralyzed and get him to walk. That's not an everybody thing, right? And so he says, what's easier? But look at verse 10. He says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You know what he's saying? Listen. He's saying this, and this is what we need to see from this these objectives that the Lord has. He wants to forgive the man of his sins because that's his greatest need. But then he changes his outward life. Listen, not for the benefit of that man, though he does benefit from it. He's doing it to prove that he has the power to forgive sins. Listen, brethren, our changed life is the proof that Jesus can forgive sins. That's why with this newfangled religion and this modern church movement, they have so watered down the gospel to where it does not mean anything anymore. Because it's lost its power in the eyes of the world because there is no changed life. And without the changed life, you do not have proof of the power of the forgiveness of sins. And so watch this. He forgave the man of sins for his benefit, but he changed his life for everybody else's benefit. These are the objectives in this passage. And you see it there in verse 12. He took up his bed, went forth before them all. The Lord did that on purpose. He didn't heal him privately and change him privately. Well, you know, my religion, that's just between me and the Lord. Well, that's just like saying you don't have any. That's what you're saying. You know, my relationship to God, that's just between me and God. And what you mean is you don't have one. And you're trying to hide the fact you don't have one by saying that Jesus has saved me. And I'm different, but I'm different in ways you can't see. No. My brother David, he wrote a song, He Made Me Whole. And every time you find Jesus touching someone and healing them, He didn't halfway heal them. He didn't just put a band-aid on their problem. He changed their life. He made them whole. It was immediate and it was final and it was complete. He went forth before them all. I love the fact that, you know, what he was carried in on, now he's carrying. Hey, remember when you were bound by sin? And it controlled your life. Listen, everywhere you went, it was the one carrying you. Well, listen, when you get saved by God's grace, all of a sudden, God gives you the power over that thing that used to control you.
That's right.
Thank God for the saving grace of God. It's a saving grace. It's a sanctifying grace. It changes the life. Makes you a new creature. And because of this change in his life, they all glorified God, verse number 12 says. They said, we never saw it on this fashion. You know what they had seen? They'd seen religion by the score, by the shovelful. They'd seen religion. You know what religion did? Nothing. Nothing. It was dead religion that could not change the life and could not change the direction of a life. Did not give victory. You notice that the modern church, they're heavy on forgiveness and they're low on victory. I thank God for forgiveness. Amen. But I'm thankful that God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. I don't know about you, when I got saved, I didn't want to live that way. In my heart and in my mind, the way I was before. I wasn't looking for fire insurance. I was looking for salvation. So these are the objectives. The forgiveness of sin was for him. The healing that was done was for the sake of the others. So they would see that Jesus had power to forgive sins. Are our lives showing people that Jesus can forgive sins? But then, I want to just look at verse number 4 for just a little while longer. We look at some of the oppositions and the obstacles that were between this man and getting the help that he needs, that he needed. In verse number 4, it says, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. The first thing that was between the sinner and the Savior here was the press. And, you know, we hear a lot about the press these days. Is this water mine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, this is not the kind of press we hear about, although I think it certainly could apply. I think CNN and Fox News, amen, nod your little pointy heads up and down, and all of those CNBC and Facebook and all that stuff, they try to get between us and God. And I'm praying about this election, and I'm praying that we have a good, favorable outcome at this election. But my hope is in the Lord. I'm not going to let whatever's happening in this world, whatever's happening in Washington, come between me and my Lord. And so, the press it's speaking of is not talking about the newspapers, but it is talking about people. It's talking about people. They couldn't, when they first brought this man, and I was thinking about this, Brother Shepherd, they're bringing this young man on this stretcher, basically, and they're trying to get him to Jesus. People know Jesus. They know what he can do. All those people, they're in that house and around that house because they know what he can do. And yet they don't let this guy through. Come on. When you're going to a place of business or something, and maybe there's someone right behind you, and they've got a walker, or they've got a cane, or they've got a wheelchair, you know what you do.
Right.
I mean, if you're a decent human being, yep. you open the door, you hold it for them, you let them come in.
Right?
Right? They don't even let this guy in.
Yep.
They are so intent on their spot, their place,
that's good,
that they won't let him through. There was this press of people between this man and the Lord.
Yep.
You know what the devil will use if you let him? He will use people to keep you from the Lord.
That is exactly right, preacher.
Now notice in this passage, there's people in the house. And there's people outside of the house. We want to look at the house as a picture of the church.
Right.
You know, I've seen many, many times, we always talk about those people outside that try to keep us from the Lord. And we certainly need to be aware of that. But you know what? We better make sure that we're not some of the people inside the house
Right. Keeping
people from the Lord.
Right.
I've seen relationships. I've seen some young fella, he's got his eye on this gal, and boy, you know, he's so intent on her that he's letting her come between him and the Lord.
Right.
Children.
Yep. Yep.
Ministries.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yep.
We allow people, things to get between us and God.
Right.
Listen, if you're here this morning, you need help from the Lord. Don't allow anyone to keep you from the Lord.
Amen.
But what are they going to think? What are they going to say? What are they, you know, what's going to be passed around about me if they see me down at the altar? Listen, the help that you need, if you want to be a blessing to others, you better get right with God. You want to be a blessing to someone else? You've got to first have your relationship right with the Lord. You've got to get the things in your heart, in your life fixed.
Amen.
And they can't fix it. Only He can.
Amen.
Don't let people get between you and the Lord. There's a press there, the press of people. And they couldn't, well, they tried to get into the door. They couldn't. So what do they do then? They go up top. Here's the thing. Somebody keep you from the Lord, get higher.
Amen.
Go up a little higher. So they get up there. And listen, once they get up there, there's still an obstacle. There's still something between them and the Lord.
Right.
Notice what it says there in verse number 4. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. There's some stuff. First it was people keeping him from the Lord. Then they got some stuff in the way. Some possessions. It's amazing to me how many people will let their possessions come between them and God. They'll let a job. Listen, we heard in Sunday school this morning, man ought to work. Amen? If you don't work, you don't eat. That's God's law. And that's New Testament.
Amen.
You don't work, you don't eat. You ought to have a job. But that job ought not have you.
Right. Amen.
Nothing wrong with having a house and having a car and having money and having all these things. But those things better not have you.
Right.
Say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm saying they should not take first place in your life.
Amen.
In your heart.
Right.
You got a job keeping you away from the Lord. Find another job.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This isn't West Africa yet. You can find a job if you're willing to work, especially in these days, because so many are not willing to work. Don't let things come between you and the Lord. Don't let obstacles. Hey, how about this? Not only possessions, but what about our past? Some of us let the past get between us and God. Hey, listen, if it's in the past, and I will say this, it's only in the past if it's been repented of.
Yep.
If it's some sin, it doesn't matter if it's 30 years old. If you haven't got it right with God, it's still your present. It's not your past yet. But if you've gotten it right with God, it's in the past. Don't let that keep you from the Lord. He still loves you. Amen. He's still interested in your life. He still wants to help you. There's obstacles that get in the way. Things, possessions. Notice what they do. They uncover, first of all, they uncover the roof where he was. You know, some things need to be uncovered. Maybe the reason why you have not gotten the help from the Lord that you need is because you're still trying to cover things. Great principle of Scripture, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. There's no exception clauses there. But he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. You know what this boy needed? He needed some mercy. You know what we need? We need some mercy. You don't get mercy by covering up. You get mercy by confessing and forsaking. And there's abundant mercy for all who will come to the Lord and just be willing. Hey, you may need to uncover some things today. You need some help in your family, some help in your relationships. You need some help in your life, your walk with God. You might just need to uncover some things. They uncovered some things, but then they didn't stop there. They uncovered the roof where it was, and when they had broken it up. They tell me that in those places in the Middle East, they would have access to the roof because they would gather up on the roof. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy, they give a commandment about having battlements on your roof. Because they would go up there, it was cooler, they'd catch the breezes, but you had to have that battlement so somebody wouldn't fall off. Somebody fell off and you didn't have a battlement, it was on you. Right? So they would have an access, and so that was not uncommon for them to be up there. But it looks like that when they uncovered it, they couldn't fit this boy through it. Right. Probably because of the bed that he was on. And so you know what they did? They took extreme measures. We don't know whose house this was. Yeah. We don't know. It probably wasn't any of these guys' house, or they'd have been on the inside. Right? Right. Right. We don't know whose house it was. But they took extreme measures. They understood that this boy's need was greater than a building.
Amen.
And so they started, listen, they uncovered what they could. They still couldn't get him through. They started breaking stuff up. Hey, maybe the Lord's saying this morning, you want help from me? There needs to be some breakups in your life. You need to break off, like Daniel told, I believe it was Darius or Nebuchadnezzar, break off thy sins by righteousness.
Yes,
you need to make a break with some things in your life. There's some things that maybe are holding you back. Maybe some besetting sin. Maybe some weight that's come between you and the Lord. And you need to make a break.
Amen.
And get that thing gone so you can get to the Lord and get the help that you need.
Yes, sir.
They broke it up. I hope they repaired it after. Amen. But we don't know the rest of the story. But I do know one thing. This boy got the help he needed.
Amen.
He didn't allow obstacles to get in his way. And then let me give you the third thing here as we close. Not only do you see that there is a press of people between him and the Lord, and there were possessions and things in his life that had gotten between him and the Lord, but notice the last phrase here in verse number 4. It says, when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So now we've come to the point where they've gotten around the people trying to keep them from the Lord. And they decide, we're not going to let anybody keep me from the Lord. And now they've got to the place where they've broken up those things that were between them and the Lord. But now they've got a problem. They're up here and he's down there. And so you know what they had to do? They had to lower him. He had to come down from where he was to get the help that he needed. You know what I believe keeps more people from the Lord than anything else is pride.
Yep.
We're so proud.
Yep.
Rachel and I were reading through 1 Corinthians right now together. And it's amazing to me that church at Corinth, they were so puffed up. They were so puffed up about their knowledge. And over, the Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not? Know ye not? Don't you know this? You're supposed to know this." They were so filled with pride. And it occurred to me, we really don't have anything to be proud of. He said, you're all proud of your gifts. Just think about that for a minute. It's a gift.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything to earn it.
Right.
Why are we proud of our gifts?
Yeah.
I tell the kids all the time, don't think that you're something special because you can sing.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, I have a talent. Where do you think you got that talent?
Right. Yep.
God gave it to you.
Right.
We don't have anything to be proud of. Listen, pride keeps us from God. Pride got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. Pride is the sin that drags so many sinners to hell. They will not swallow their pride and repent of their sin and come to the Lord and say, "I need you." Pride is what kills our prayer life. We think we can do it without Him. You know what I've found out, brother? And I thank God for how He guides us and leads us. It's impossible to remain full of pride when you're praying.
Yeah, that's right.
Now listen, context does matter. If you're praying in a crowd of people, you can pray in pride.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
But we all know why, because we're not really praying.
Right.
We're talking to everybody else.
Right.
I read a quote some months back, Brother Paris Reedhead. I don't know much about him, but I know his message on 10 shekels and a shirt. What a great message. One of those classic ones. But he said, most Christians talk more about their prayer life than they actually pray. And listen, you can pray in a crowd of people in pride, but it's impossible to pray privately when it's just you and God and you're really praying. You know what it does? It tears down the pride in your heart.
Amen.
You're just realizing, I need the Lord. And Lord, this situation I'm coming to, I can't handle it. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. I don't have the grace. Lord, I need you. We need a revival of that in our hearts.
Yes.
What they had to do, they had to lower him down. You know, he had to leave where he was to get help. Verse 3, it says, they come unto him. We make a lot about Jesus coming to us. Jesus came to this earth. Is that right?
Right.
When we couldn't get to heaven, He came here.
Right.
But you know what He did once He got here? You know what He said? Come unto me.
That's right.
Jesus is not on our beck and call.
Right.
We are at His call.
Amen.
And He says, you've got to leave where you are to come to where I am.
Amen.
I've already bridged the gap that you couldn't bridge.
Yep.
I'm not a Calvinist.
Thought
I'd throw that out there. He did what we couldn't do, but He's not going to do what we can do. And He calls us to come. And in order to come to Christ, you got to leave where you are. Here, this is the attitude, the spirit of Western civilization, because we made everything so easy and everything so immediate and everything just a click of the button on our phone. We want something from Amazon, and we hit it. And in some places I go to, in the cities and stuff, you can get it the same day. You order it in the morning, get it in the afternoon. Big stuff. It's made us, we are so self-centered, and we are so self-consumed, and we just expect that everybody is going to drop everything and come to us at our beck and call.
Right.
And we transfer that over to God.
Right.
Oh, Lord, I really need you. And Lord's saying, well, I need you here.
Yep.
And if you want my help, you've got to come to where I am. They come unto him. You know what he said? You need to get down from where you are if you're going to get the help that you need. I'm convinced that the reason why we don't have revival in our churches is because people will not humble themselves.
Yeah.
Two things, pride and apathy.
Yep.
Those are killing us. We're willing to live without revival, so therefore we don't have it.
Right.
And we're proud. We think that we have enough. It's the spirit of Laodicea.
Yep.
We're rich. We're increased with goods. Man, we got good health. We got all these things. We have need of nothing. Lord said, you are not seeing things clearly.
Right.
You know what you need? You need some eye salve.
Because
you're poor, you're blind, you're naked.
Yep.
You have nothing. See, we have all the outward stuff. And so we think we're set. But God sees the greatest needs, and that's inside.
Amen.
And he's calling upon us, hey, just humble yourself. You know, if you will lower yourself, I'll meet your need.
Amen.
I'll help you. What's between you and the Lord? Is it people? Is it possessions? Is it pride? Aren't you glad he's got the help that we need?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he's got forgiveness? Aren't you glad he's got restoration?
Amen.
He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to change a life.
Yes. Right.
Know what we need to do? We need to be determined in our hearts. We're not going to let anything come between us and the Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. God, I pray by your Spirit, you'll take the truths of your word, draw us to yourself. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves. Lord, as I was preaching this morning, you pointed out something in my heart, my life. I thought I was prepared for this, but Lord, it seems so often that even while I'm preaching this, you're dealing with my heart. About things that I've let get between me and you. Lord, I don't want it to be that way. I don't want to be more excited about anything than you.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for your grace and I thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I got my little grandbaby here today. I love her so much. My family, my wife, my children. All the blessings you brought into my life. But Lord, I don't want to let anything get between me and you.
Yes.
I don't want to have any other gods before you. So God, I pray that you would help us. Help us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word that reveals the truth to us. It's a mirror. It shows us where we are. But it also shows us the Savior and how we can get the help that we need. Lord, I believe you're in this place today. And Father, I believe that there's help here for each and every soul. And Lord, I pray that whatever that need is, that folks will respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor, if you'll come, conduct the invitation as you see fit. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. Listen, you're never going to find the healing, the peace, the forgiveness that you need any other place than Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He is the way, the truth, the life.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by him. There's only one way to salvation, that's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You need to be saved. Why don't you come call upon the Lord? God's spoken to your heart. You just be obedient to the Spirit of God today.